Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Coach Guevara from the Heat Wave with my awesome co-host, Josh Norrie. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, Sylvia?
Good, and you?
It's going great. Got to watch an awesome game last night. It was a little closer than it should have been, but it was still great to see the Heat pull out that win. But right now, we're not really going to be talking about the game. We're going to save most of our preview stuff for the Cavs Heat game tomorrow for the pregame show. So, what do you feel like talking about right now?
Well, we're about to talk about the D League, the Skyforce, which is a partnership with the Miami Heat, which is amazing league.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is your 2015-2016 Scion Falls Skyforce roster. Listed at 6'5", hailing from the University of Duke, Andre Dawkins. At guard, 6'2", coming out of California State Fullerton, Michael Williams. 6'1", guard from Iowa State University, Bubba Paulo. At guard, 6'2", from UCLA, Larry Drew II. At guard, 6'4", from Kansas State, Rodney Magruder. At forward, 6'5", from Kenesaw State, Marquise Cummings. At forward, 6'6", from Seton Hall University, Fuquan Edwin. At guard, 6'7", coming from Tennessee University, Scotty Hoffman. Forward, 6'8", from Middle Tennessee State, Sean Jones. Forward, 6'6", from James Madison University, A.J. Davis. Center, 6'10", from UNLV, Cambridge. And last but not least, a 7-footer coming from Ohio State University, Byron Mullins.
Good job, John.
Yeah, now the roster is going to look a little different once the D-League season starts, particularly because right now none of the players on the roster have been assigned by the Miami Heat. And I have a feeling that one or two of the rookies who impressed during training camp will end up on this roster at some point in the year. Now, Sylvia, did you recognize any of the names of those players?
Yes, I did. Andre Dawkins, the 6'5 from Duke.
Yeah, he had a good career there. But I was talking more about Larry Drew II and Byron Mullins, who both have played in the NBA previously in their careers. So they might be some of the call-ups if there happen to be some major injuries to the Heat. But we're hoping that that isn't the case, because that would be just not a good time at all. I want to see the Heat play great basketball. I'm sure you do, Sylvia.
Yes, I do, especially with the height.
Yeah.
The center 6'10". Yep.
Yeah. Now, here is some information about the Skyforce for those who are unfamiliar with the team. First off, they are one of the oldest teams in the NBA D League, having been founded in 1989, only 1 year after the Heat were founded in 88. However, they weren't, as you would know if you're familiar with the D League, which was founded in 2001, they weren't originally in the D League. and actually didn't join the NBA D League until the 2006-2007 season. The team has played in three different leagues throughout their existence, including the Continental Basketball League, which was one of the oldest basketball leagues in the world until it ceased operations back in 2009. And the Skyall Falls Skyforce played in that league from 1989 until 2000, when it suspended operations for a year, and then rejoined for the 2001 season before finally leaving at the end of the 2005-2006 season. They did end up winning one championship in the CBA, and they played in the International Basketball League for the 2000-2001 season.
Wow, you went all the way back, John. That's great information.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, the Heat have been affiliated with the squad since the 2009-2010 season, and it's been an exclusive affiliation since the 2013-2014 season, meaning that the Miami Heat are the only team who can call up players from this roster. And many of you may be wondering, why is it of any significance that any D-League player, the Heat have exclusive rights to call up any D-League player on this team? Which, I mean, that seems like a decent answer. The vast majority of players in the NBA D-League don't make it to the NBA. And if they do, it's normally on a 10-day contract, or maybe two if they're lucky. Sylvia, can you think of any notable NBA D-League players?
Yes, I can.
Who are in the league right now?
Yes. I believe Tyler Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he didn't get an appearance in the season opener, but he did have some great games for the Heat going down the stretch last season. Another member of the Heat was a number member of the Heat rotation, who is one of your favorite players, actually played in the D-League for a time. I'm going to see if you can guess who it is.
Is it Whiteside?
Well, Whiteside too, but that isn't who I was talking about this time.
Can it be Napier?
He's a shooting guard, but isn't a starter.
Well, I can't think of one right now. Okay.
Gerald Green!
That is right. You're correct.
Yeah, he actually had three different stints in the D-League, playing for Fayetteville and Florida while he was on the Celtics roster, and playing for the Los Angeles Defenders when he was coming back in the league after the lockout in 2011.
Right.
Yeah. But like you said, there are a handful of players on this Heat roster who have spent time in the D-League before for the Skyall Falls Skyforce before they previously in their careers. And we already hit two of the biggest ones with Hassan Whiteside, a starter who actually played for a couple of D-League teams before catching on with the Heat roster last season. And Tyler Johnson, who made his mark in the D-League as an undrafted rookie before being called up last season to join the 82-game roster for the Miami Heat. But here are some other players who played on the D-League roster, on the Skyall Falls team in the D-League in the past couple of years. Henry Walker, who also had some memorable games with the Heat last season.
Which I was surprised that he
Yeah, I'm surprised he got waived too. Shabazz Napier, also known as LeBron James' favorite player from the 2014 draft.
14.
Who, I mean, Pat Riley, it seems like he couldn't wait to get rid of him when LeBron decided not to re-sign with the Heat. He was.
Exactly.
I think he actually started last season. drafted in the D League, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And then he, the Heat signed him again.
And then he finished the season in the D League before being dealt to Orlando this offseason.
Exactly.
And Zoran Dragic, also, who last was with on the Boston Celtics roster and spent some time with the Phoenix Suns last year, he was on the Skyfall for a significant amount of time last year. Now, if that name seems familiar to you at all, that is because he is the younger brother of starting point guard Goran Dragic. Now, Sylvia, who do you think from this preseason team who was playing good but didn't make the opening night roster, do you think we could see on the Skyfall roster at some point this season?
Who's going to make it to the Heat roster this season from the Skyfall?
Yeah. Yep.
I would say A.J. Davis at 6'6", forward.
Yeah, there's him. Keith Benson, who even though he didn't make the Heat roster and currently is a free agent, if I'm correct, has previously played for the Skyforce at, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
Another player who I think could see later on is, give me 1 second because I'm drawing a blank and I want to make sure I've got this, I'm giving the right information to our listeners, so I'm looking this up real quick.
Exactly.
Well, Greg Winnington, who went undrafted in this draft out of Georgetown, a 6'8 power forward, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up on the D-League roster. Also, Corey Hawkins, who Eric Spoelstra had nothing but great things to say about him and his effort on the defensive end during training camp, coming out of UC Davis. The 6'2 guard was another undrafted free agent.
Right.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if those guys and Keith Benson end up on the Skyforce roster at some point this season and possibly get a call-up to play in the big leagues with the Heat during this year.
Right. Yeah, most definitely. We need another big man.
Yeah, that's true, because as much as I love Amari Stoudemire and Chris Anderson, they aren't the players they were 3 or 4 years ago, and it's going to – I don't know if the two of them can play a combined 82 games at this point in their career, which the Heat are going to need, especially if Whiteside has issues like he had early in last night's game where he just was – looking, let's get this one thing straight. I don't think Hassan Whiteside should be taking jump shots or doing post-ups right now. Those did not look good. And Al Jefferson had him looking flustered during that first quarter.
Yes. He didn't know what to do, Whiteside.
Yeah, I mean, all the physical tools are there, but it's going to take him some time. Now, moving on, last night was one of the more memorable opening nights in Miami Heat history, not only because it was the debut of rookie Justice Winslow, but it was the return of Miami fan favorite Chris Bosh after he was out for 8 months. When he was diagnosed with blood clots in his lungs that ended his season prematurely last year and actually had the possibility of ending his career. And there was a touching moment before the game wherein he addressed the fan and just thanked everybody for their thoughts and prayers throughout his recovery process. So, Sylvia, I'm putting the question to you.
Yes.
What were some of the more memorable Miami Heat opening nights for you personally that have happened?
Personally, when the Heat signed LeBron James and Chris Bosh, we were talking about Chris Bosh in 2010. That was amazing because
we got the
best player in the planet on a Heat uniform.
Yeah.
So that was amazing.
Yeah.
We were lucky to have him for 4 years. So I think that's one of the most memorable moments.
Yeah,
in
you're talking
Heat
about
history.
October 26, 2010, which actually
yes.
was a loss to the Boston Celtics, of all people, which, I mean, at least the Heat ended up with the last lap at the end of the season, represented the Eastern Conference in the finals. But, yeah,
right.
It was the first time LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade all stepped on the court wearing the same jersey, and was the start of an unprecedented mm-hmm. four straight Eastern Conference championships.
Right.
And two title wins during that stretch. And LeBron James would go on to lead all scorers in that game with 31 points.
Which it was given. You know, he was going to come back with a vengeance, coming from the Cavs. He wanted to do
oh,
better,
yes.
play better. So we already knew that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, especially after the summer he had that year with all the talk and the media just bashing him for the decision, which we can all agree there was nothing wrong with LeBron James leaving Cleveland to come to Miami.
Right.
But it could have been done better than a half-hour special. No, it wasn't even a half-hour. It was an hour-long special on ESPN. That was
just a reveal.
Not a good look.
Yeah,
I bet LeBron is still questioning who gave him that advice, and I don't blame him if that was the case. Now, you telling me about the start of an era made me think back to this date back in 1995, November 4th. It was a game, ironically, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, where the Miami Heat would end up winning 85-71, and it was the first time both Alonzo Mourning and Pat Riley were part of the Heat organization for a regular season game.
Right.
And that was a start of what has been nothing short of an amazing run for this franchise. For the first 7 years of the Heat franchise, if I'm correct, they finished over 500 one time, and since Pat Riley has been a member of the Miami Heat organization, either as a head coach or in his current front office position, the Heat have only missed the playoffs, and this, again, I'm double-checking,
right.
But it's been less than 5 times. I mean, they've been to the finals more times than they have missed
the playoffs.
Yeah. I am just going to double check because, hey, we've got technology, and I want to make sure that I'm giving all of our fans the correct information. All right,
you are
let me
correct.
Look at this.
They've been to the finals 5 times.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. So, since Pat Riley has joined the Miami Heat organization, the Heat have appeared in the finals 5 times and only missed the playoffs on 4 occasions. I don't know how many other teams can talk about having that much success of as a team. And also, Pat Riley would go on to lead the Heat to their third playoff appearance that season with a 42-40 record, which would end up tying the best record that Miami had to that point. And the next season, then he would lead them to a 61-21 record, and they would go on to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they would unfortunately lose to the Bulls, because we're talking about Michael Jordan in the 90s.
Right, in the 90s, exactly, yes.
Which, I mean, was something else. Another part of that season's turnaround was the midseason trade for Tim Hardaway Jr., but let's go back to talking about the opening night game. Alonzo Mourning was a huge factor in this game, and I know the score looks kind of foreign to us now, but this was the mid-90s basketball we're talking about,
right.
Especially with Pat Riley just coming from New York, where he had those great defensive teams. Yeah, Alonzo Mourning led all scorers with 15 points, and he was a beast on the defensive end, notching 5 blocks during the game.
Right, yeah. Which he has a Heat record with 9 blocks that year, 1995-96.
Yeah, and I believe that is one of the years he was named to the all-defensive team. This is back when... And people forget about it now just because of how his career ended up getting derailed because of that kidney condition. But Alonzo Mourning was one of the best defensive centers throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. And, hey, Sylvia, any other Miami Heat season openers which really stick out in your mind?
Which is when Shaq came along in 2006.
Yeah, it wasn't just Shaq's first time in South Beach, but it was the return of Alonzo Mourning after he had taken a couple of years off because of those said kidney issues.
Right. Which he had a kidney transfer. Uh-huh. Go for it.
Yeah, and that season would be the first year that the Miami Heat would bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Dwayne Wade was obviously the star of that team. Shaq was arguably the MVP of that season. You can still hear him today complaining about those years that Steve Nash won the MVP over him. And we actually have a surprising guy who had the best performance. Antoine Walker, the power forward, led the Miami Heat with 25 points and 16 rebounds on that game, November 2nd, 2005.
That was an amazing, amazing year. Shaq, Alonzo, Wade, Eddie Jones was on that team too.
Gary Payton. One of my favorite players of all time. He was on that team. I mean, he wasn't the best player, but old man could still ball, and he helped the Heat win their first NBA title, and it was able to bookend his career. And, of course, I can't talk about any of the Miami Heat season openers without going back to the original one, November 5th, 1988. Unfortunately, this was a loss to the Clippers, of all people. Clippers, 111, Miami Heat, 91 points, and this would be the first game in the history of the Miami Heat. Ronnie Cicely was the centerpiece of the franchise back then, if you guys remember who he is. And the leading scorer for the Heat that night was Dwayne Pearl Washington, who came off the bench with 16 points. Now, Sylvia, do any of those names sound familiar to you at all? Because we're talking about a good 4 years before I was born that this is happening.
Yeah, Cicely, most definitely Cicely, He's a memorable center, so most definitely him.
That's true. And I feel like Ronnie Cicely, even though the Heat teams weren't terribly successful during his tenure in Miami, he is got to go down as the first franchise player in Miami Heat history. What do you think?
I agree. I definitely agree, A lot of fans adore him. They loved him. So I know he's one of the best in Heat history in the franchise.
And And if I'm correct, he's still hanging out in South Beach, but
yes,
instead of playing basketball these days, he is a DJ. So if you get a chance to check him out sometime, you've got to hit me on Twitter to let me know how his set went, because I'm just intrigued to see what he would bring. And now we are going to bring on a new segment to the Heat Wave. It's a trivia question. Now, Sylvia has told me of a player who played for the Miami Heat throughout their history, and I'm going to give you guys, you listeners, some clues about this player. And if you know who it is, I want you to tweet at me, Josh, J-I-L-O-R-I underscore S-E-N. Sylvia, why don't you let them know what your Twitter handle is so they can get at you with this as well?
Right. My Twitter handle is at Coach Guevara. That's G-U-E-V-A-R-A.
And also, tweet at the station's Twitter handle, at 305 Sports and Life, along with using the hashtag HeatWave to answer this question. Now, we are going to be taught this player who has been mentioned previously in this episode, so that's a bonus hint, which you're not going to be getting next week. This center, who's 6'10", was one of the top prospects coming out of college in the 1992 draft. Even though he didn't start his career with the Miami Heat, he is still remembered as one of the best players in franchise history and already has his number retired, and along with winning an NBA championship during the 2006 season with the Heat, he was a member of the 2000 gold medal U.S. national team at the Sydney Olympics. Now, again, to answer this question and get a possible shout-out on next week's episode, you got to tweet the answer to at 305 Sports and Life, at J-I-L-O-R-I underscore S-E-N, and at Coach Guevara using the hashtag HeatWave. All right?
Yes.
Remember that hashtag, HeatWave. And
that is a great question.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 6 o'clock for the Miami Heat pregame show, where we're going to break down the matchups and the keys for the Heat to win, and just play devil's advocate and talk about what the Cavaliers would have to do if they want to win the game. And we'll be coming to you after the game with our post-game show as well, recapping the night. Nice action. All right, I'm Josh.
And I'm Coach Guevara from the Heat Wave.
And this has been the Heat Wave. All right, have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, everybody. The heat is on.